Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs.
Here at Blueprint, there's only one thing we enjoy more than a low-stakes, high-return investigation, and that's tossed salad and scrambled eggs. The sitcom Frasier, it has been, you may not have noticed this, off-air for 15 years, but it's been a bit of a year for that kind of TV. It's been rediscovered. It's there to be streamed and binged. And that feeds into 90s nostalgia, the vibe of the pandemic, which has led us to seek comfort. And Frasier is a comfortable place. And there's our tale. For Frasier, Crane's a man of taste. His condo lounge room boasts a Le Corbusier lamp, an Eames chair. How on earth did this man afford such fine furnishings on a radio presenter's wage? You will have asked yourself that, I'm sure. But one brave soul decided to get to the bottom of this, to make that investigation, and she joins us now. Gabriella Paella is a staff writer at GQ. She is to Frasier what Mark Ruffalo was to the Spotlight investigation. If you know, you know. Gabriella, welcome.
Hello, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
It is an amazing apartment, the Frasier sets. For those who may only have a nodding acquaintance, just describe that scene for us.
Sure. So it is a very spacious living room where most of the scenes are set. You have a beautiful view of the Space Needle. And as you mentioned, you know, you name checked a bit of his eclectic decor. We have the Eames chair. Yeah, the lamp by Corbeau, the sofa modeled after the one in Coco Chanel's Paris atelier. And of course, his father's terrible lazy boy chair. But he also has a grand piano. And then, you know, those dreams where you suddenly discover like a secret room in your apartment? That's how I would describe the layout of his apartment. He has three more bedrooms and then luxurious bathrooms. And they take you through those in different episodes. They're constantly revealing more space.
He used to be a psychiatrist, but now he's a radio presenter. And this is where we start to sort of try and do the maths here. What a Seattle radio presenter in the 90s might have been earning, and what an apartment full of such wild mid-century opulence might have been worth. How do you go about, I mean, this is all based on a work of the imagination, of course, so that adds another degree of complexity, I guess, to your quest. How do you go about pinning down some of these numbers?
Yeah, so in terms of getting a valuation of the apartment, some other outlets had estimated how much it would cost today, but I wanted to know how much he paid for it in '93. So I emailed several Seattle realtors, and shockingly, most of them did not respond to me when I asked them to price out a fake apartment for the '90s. But one realtor did, one brave realtor, and he actually runs Christie's Seattle and exclusively works in this luxury condo space. So he gave me his valuation of what it would have cost in the '90s and what he thought it would cost today. And then in terms of getting his salary, that was actually a bit more difficult. I tried the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, so putting my tax dollars to good use. But their website only had data going back to '97. So we had a wonderful researcher on staff, Deirdre, who helped me track down the data from the '90s. And that's when she found that the average salary for a radio announcer was around $27,000.
Uh-huh. I'm seeing a disconnect here between capacity to pay and the opulence of the surroundings. I mean, it's a necessity of the form, isn't it, of TV, to have that kind of an open space to create those vistas. And I guess we are invited as an audience to suspend financial belief.
No, you're supposed to suspend disbelief, especially in, I think, all of the sitcoms in the '90s. They had apartments that were much more luxurious than whatever the character's lifestyle would have afforded. Mm-hmm. However, when you're watching all 11 seasons of Frasier during a pandemic, you also have the time to to investigate this.
Is this the thing that you actually did? Did you watch all 11 seasons?
Oh, this winter, yeah. Oh, wow. New York, you know, cases spiked again. I was shut in my apartment. My husband and I had watched all of television in general, so we figured we might as well do all 11 seasons of Frasier.
Okay, so the basic conclusion is that there's no way that he could have put himself into that place if this was real.
Yeah, I mean, he likely was making more than the average salary. But when you consider the cost of the apartment, which was valued at around $1 million, let's say, his salary plus his lifestyle, you know, as fans of the show will know, he drives a BMW. He's always going to the opera. He spent $500,000 furnishing the apartment. He's getting his daily coffee and his dinners. Like, this man is in a lot of credit card debt, I think.
Did you actually price, you mentioned some of the accessories around the place. Did you price some of those? Because those are things that you could actually, you know, get pretty accurate detail on, I imagine.
Yes, there was actually a great article on the decor from the 90s. And, you know, I'm not finding it now, but they did price out, you know, how much the Eames chair would have cost and how much the lamp and the couch alone, I think, would have cost around $15,000. Yeah.
Okay. Is this your style? Are you attracted to this mid-90s aesthetic?
You know, that's a great question. That is not how my apartment is styled at all. But I think it was a Stockholm syndrome situation where I was just staring at this apartment for so long that it began to look more and more appealing. But I love that warm 90s wood, that really the soothing beige tones, which I think haven't really come back into style at all. You know, the mid-century modern has come back. You were getting like sort of over the top 80s decor is coming back a little bit, but these sort of 90s tones, I don't think they've come back in fashion yet.
No, but it's certainly been, as you say, it's been a time for that sort of comfort and perhaps just to look at rather than occupy ourselves. Another theory about Frasier too is, of course, the possibility of inherited wealth. And he sort of strikes one as the sort of person who might have private means.
Right. Many people brought up this theory to me. I don't completely buy it because, you know, obviously his father is a working class, he's an ex-cop, and he might have had a pension helping them out, but I don't know, his late mother, people have said perhaps that she left them a trust fund, but class consciousness is such a recurring theme on the show that, you know, I don't think it would have been articulated so much if he did have a trust fund. That said, a Frasier writer, Joe Keenan, did tell me that in the writer's room, they had a theory that he had invested in tech stocks early on and was living off the dividends.
Okay. So they felt the necessity to give themselves some sort of a actorly rationale here so they could make the character work, I guess.
Right. I wish they'd written it in, but then we wouldn't be here talking.
So. Were you aware of any sort of discussion about this at the time? Was there any sort of contemporary surprise that the Frasier could afford this sort of opulence?
You know, I don't know about that. I think it's one of those arguments or one of those questions that I think, you know, Twitter or the internet makes so much more lively. Because, yes, you know, back in the day, you would think it, the thought would pass and you would move on. And now
you would write it to someone in a letter.
Yes. Exactly.
That does put the slows on things. So when you did approach people involved in the creation of the show, were they somewhat surprised by your investigation, or did they think, oh, yes, we were waiting for this to happen?
I think it was more of the latter. I think this is something they had heard many times, yes.
Well, look, congratulations. I think we can agree to leave it as a work of fiction. But we salute your assiduousness, Gabriella, not only for watching all 11 seasons, but for then doing the extra homework that was required. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for walking us through. Gabriella Paella, staff writer at GQ. You can read that article, How Did Frasier Afford His Apartment? That's on the GQ website. Just have a little search. We'll put a link on the Blueprint page. And this is Blueprint Radio National.
But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
they're calling again.
So there you are, the secrets of TV decor. Next week, Fonzie's flat from Happy Days.